Welcome to Unveiling Reality Podcast, a podcast all about self-growth, self-care, and self-love. This is your host, Anjali. Each week, I come up with different topics, including bits and pieces of my life lessons. If you are interested, tune in each week. It's been an year of podcasting. Can you believe it? No, I can't believe it. Just do let me know. Just pinch me. I haven't been so consistent with my podcasts, but I know for the fact that I always enjoyed the process. I enjoyed the process of grabbing my microphone, recording all that I wanted to record, talk everything, share something up to the world, and really be happy. And today, I thought, why don't I do a Q&A episode? I recently put on a poll, or maybe call it as a sticker, on Instagram stories asking if anybody would be interested for a Q&A episode on my podcast. And I also asked you to leave some questions for the Q&A episode regarding me or anything just way beyond that. And my expectations were so low, I thought I wouldn't receive any responses. But the amazing response, you know, really gave me this quick urge to record this episode as ASAP, because the response was way beyond beautiful. Thank you so much for all the support. And if you're not really following me on Instagram yet, or if you aren't aware of my page, I'll leave the link in the show notes so that you can check that out after the episode. With that being said, I would want to start this episode today, because what's a podcast show without their own audience not knowing anything about their host? I mean, I hardly speak about myself here. I always speak a ton about life, motivation, self-care and whatnot, but my audience deserve to know a little about me. They have been listening to my voice for a quite long time and they hardly know about me. And also, good news here, my podcast slowly started to emerge. What I mean to say is that people started noticing it and they leave such beautiful messages on my Instagram page. They reach out to me on Instagram through my podcast, which is, I was stunned. And they leave such beautiful comments and compliments and messages that just enlightens my day. One message every other 2 days from someone, you know, talking about my podcast, appreciating the content. I mean, I find my initial few episodes so cringy, but you guys managed to like it. I mean, maybe it's just me, but come on, I was a beginner back then. With that being said, I rant a lot. Let's jump into Q&A episode, because this is going to be the longest episode ever, and I'm sure you've grabbed your snacks, or maybe you're on a walk, or maybe you're, you know, cooking or doing something, some, you know, activity or a chore, because that's when we listen to podcasts, right? It's not really multitasking is what I feel. It's really like, you know, activating your mood while you're working on something. And with that being said, let's move on and start today's episode. I am so excited, and I hope you're equally excited for this episode, because I'm going to rant a lot in this one and it's going to be the longest episode ever on my podcast show. Also, I thought I shouldn't reveal any of your names, just to keep things simpler and a lot more private, because not everybody would want me to reveal their names on a podcast show since it's public. So yeah, keeping that thing aside, let's begin with the first question. Maybe I'll call the person Miss Yellow, Miss Red, so that, you know, you get what I'm trying to say, right? So, Miss Yellow asks me, how have you got to know that designing is your passion and your career as well, and not just a hobby? Okay, career, I guess you got it right. I mean, I'm just 18 as of now, and I'm a student pursuing computer applications, just for the added information, you know, TMI. Yeah, answering your question right now, I've always had a love for creativity. Like, right from a very young age, you know, from drawing or literally playing with clay, or now that I've learned cooking, you know, and a lot of baking. I experiment a lot with baking and cooking, by the way. So these creative activities are always a great fun for me. Like, although when I was young, I might not have fully understood it on a conscious level of creativity, because back then I was too young to understand that, but I did know that it was something that really interested me. I loved trying out new sketches every now and then. But in order to bring something new and unique, and hopefully, you know, something of value into this world, this always brought me a great deal of satisfaction. And after a few years from then, my love for creativity continued through the lockdown period a lot more. I am sure you guessed this already before you switched on this episode, because a lot of us, you know, really discovered our interests, passions, hobbies and whatnot through this lockdown period. Because let's face it, it was the longest lockdown ever and it's still going on. Keeping that aside, I would like to talk a little about what happened in the lockdown. So I found this application called Canva, and if you are a designer or, you know, if you are an entrepreneur or if you have an online business on Instagram or somewhere, you might have already come across this application. A lot of us use it. So Canva, basically, for those who aren't aware of this, for the listeners who aren't, it's a platform for non-designers. For those who aren't aware of designing, the professional side of designing, this one is a simpler way of designing your posts or your content or your banners and whatever that is needed, right? So I find this application from out of the blue, and I would spend way too much time on it because all we had in the lockdown was time and I really wanted to do something. So it was just so addictive as I began using it. I started using it on my phone. If you can't believe it, yes, I used to design everything on my phone. So designing as a career view was never the plan, you know, but I began to establish my creative interests with this one particular application and a lot more around visual arts, you know, such as graphic design, illustrations and whatnot. So it was this stage that I started to get the sense that I'd like to do something creative for a living in the future. But what it was exactly and how this creativity translates into the world of work was unclear to me. Like the career perspective of, you know, graphic designing. So I just know I want to continue doing creative work in life as I go further, because I'm not a graphic designer yet. I'm just a Canva designer. Canva designers aren't really graphic designers, because graphic design is way beyond that. It's about using professional tools. Let's not get too much into that because this is not a graphic design podcast, but it speaks a lot about me, right? And also, I never really had dreams or plans for my career. I'm not really quite a career-oriented person. I don't know how I feel about this, but that's just how I am. I never really got my head into what I really want to do in the future or where my passion really lies in. I just didn't understand. I mean, I didn't really get myself to understand where my passion truly lies. And while working on my designs for my Instagram page, when I started it this year, 2021, January, I started looking onto the scope of the work and the courses to pursue as I go further, because I just love this process and I love the feedback from a lot of people who look into my posts and the designs. And so after a great deal of research and, you know, really studying people's life and experiences over the internet, I guess I got all the more clarity. But the only thing that always stopped me from, you know, getting into these, you know, creative fields was, I'll put it this way. So basically in India, people only respect few professions like CA, engineering and MBBS. Of course, this shouldn't really bother me in any way, because people keep judging. They'll just keep telling things. You just don't have to listen to them. You don't have to play by their rules, right? But don't get me wrong, there are some amazing fields with all the due respect. But in our society, creative fields aren't addressed as a profession, but they see it more like a hobby. I mean, let's consider my example here. Graphic designers aren't valued in this society. I mean, nobody even talks about it. I mean, even you might feel strange while I'm talking about this, and that's not your mistake. That's how the society has been formed. Nobody likes to talk about creative fields. At least it's getting better these days, but graphic designers are so amazing, right? I mean, they create visual concepts using computer softwares, or just by hand, they illustrate things as well, right? To communicate ideas that inspire, that inform and captivate the consumers. I mean, come on, there's no business that exists that does not need some sort of visual communication in the form of logos, business cards, flyers, promotional materials, and so on and so forth. And so what I'm trying to say is that when society is not respecting what you're doing, sometimes you get stuck in these negative loop of thoughts. You feel like, are you doing good enough? So this is what happened with me, right? I always felt like, what if people judge me and whatnot? But finally, I took up the decision that this is what I want to do in my life. I was never passionate about anything, but all of a sudden from nowhere, I felt like I found my passion. It might look very simple, but it takes me hours and hours to design. So you see the passion there. I can spend hours and hours on something just because I love it. And I explored my creative interests there. As of now, I am constantly designing, even just for myself, that too just using this application Canva. And I love being able to get up every day and have a new creative challenge to work on. Not always do I have a lot of time. I have to do my client work as well. We'll get on to that topic as I go further. But yeah, I have my studies, I have my college, I have my online classes and whatnot. So I just want to say that there's no awareness on these creative fields in this, at least in India. I'm not really sure of the other places because I haven't really been there. But yeah, I just wanted to reflect some sort of awareness on these fields as well. Not just graphic design, but any creative fields like content writing, copywriting, you know, just some amazing fields that are not even noticed by people. Now let's get back to my story. So as I began creating more content on my page slowly started getting noticed. I felt like my hard work, all the hard work that I put into, was feeling worth it. I mean, like even if just 5 people would notice it, I would be the happiest. But now, turns out that a lot of people actually started noticing my page and really appreciating my work with their beautiful feedbacks. So when I hit 500 followers on Instagram, I wanted to give back something to my community, and hence I decided how lovely would it be if I designed some wallpapers all by myself, simply customized. So it not only will have my touch on it, but it will be something that people can use it on a daily basis, right? This was my thought behind creating these wallpapers. I sat for days and days creating these designs, and I was so happy with the outcome. And over 80 people actually grabbed this beautiful gift that I created for them and really loved it. They even used it for themselves. So yeah, that's where I really felt like maybe I'm not valuing my skills yet. And so this just went on, and one day a marketing coach on Instagram, she's just like almost of my age, reaches out to me and asks me if I'm a graphic designer. So I tell her that I'm just a Canva designer, and she was asking me if I provide any graphic design services and, you know, a bunch of other things around that. So I didn't really know how to answer to that question, firstly, because I had zero experience in this. I hardly knew anything about working with someone. I had zero experience. So I didn't really know how to respond to that DM. So I just reached out to the people who I trust, like my mom. And then I have an Instagram friend. She's an amazing woman. And yeah, I reached out to a bunch of people, asked them if I should go ahead, because that self-doubt was just stopping me to not do it. But then I felt like this is something I always wanted to do. And with the advice I got from some amazing people, I felt like I should give this a try. I should give this a shot. I mean, come on, let's do something new, right? So I just gave this a shot. And guess what? This was the best decision ever. Working for a month with her, you know, made me explore so much. Just in span of a month, I noticed my love for graphic designing. Like, I would spend so much of time on a particular design and I would love the process, like simply love the process. So from there on, I understood that this is something that I love, and I didn't really want to take up a lot of clients at that point. So I accepted one of the clients and I started working with her, and even she's really happy with my work. And as of now, I'm working with 3 clients. And I'm really happy with that. I haven't really accepted all the clients because I know for the fact that I wouldn't be able to manage, and I need to not really put in a lot of pressure. Like, I'm a complete beginner to this, and I'm not even like a professional designer. So it would be better if I work for individually for, you know, 3 to 4 people at once, so that, you know, it really doesn't get tedious, and also I give my best to each of the clients. So this is how my graphic design journey began, and I'm looking forward to pursue my master's in graphic design, visual communication, you know, illustration, and all these good things. And fingers crossed. And that was an in-depth answer to the question that you asked, and I hope that really answers what you asked. Okay, now moving on to the next question. I received the same question from, you know, 3 people. So I would answer it all at one go, of course. That makes a lot more sense. So the question goes like, what inspired you to start a podcast? And there's another question as well, just a similar question. Your main reason behind starting a podcast. And there's another similar question. What made you to start this podcast and the self-care page? I'll cover the self-care page as I go further, but let's talk about the podcast first. Okay, so for every other answer, I would say lockdown, because that's how everything began. I feel like that because I am a complete changed person after the lockdown. So after the first ever lockdown, I discovered all my interests. Like, basically a good space of discovering for me, like a self-discovery process, you know. So when I first heard a podcast of someone, I never really know anything about podcasting. I don't know if it's my ignorance or I was just a little away from the digital space. I would only watch YouTube content. So when I first heard a podcast of someone, it seemed like a really cool thing to me. And it really seemed like a cool thing to do at that particular time, because there was a lot of time, right? So I know it is a very bad reason to start a podcast. And it was 2020 and podcasts were just starting to hit their boom in India. So I thought, well, I like to hear myself. Perhaps others will as well. And so I bought this cheap microphone and recorded the first ever episode of my podcast. And it was awful. I had no freaking idea what I was doing. What I wanted to talk about was a tall girl's life. I picked up this topic from one of my journal entries that I made in my journal, and I randomly recorded this episode. And after that, I also randomly called over my friend and my mom as well as a guest to my show for no good reason. I mean, I didn't really have a niche. I mean, the episode did turn out pretty well, but I didn't really have a purpose behind it. So I had no specific niche nor any idea of what I wanted to do with this. And then I thought it would be better if I educate myself on these things. So I started researching on this. I was learning how to do all these things to make a podcast. I have to record, have to edit, and have to promote a show. And slowly I started to realize that my main aim was that I wanted to get my voice and stories out to the world. I never felt like I mattered my whole life, my entire life. I mean, I'm not even kidding. My 17 years of life, I thought I didn't really matter. I gradually changed in these 2 to 3 years. So I felt like I had nothing to share to this world. But damn, was I wrong when I explored this podcasting platform. We all have stories. We all have something we can share and add to this world. And it is just a matter of tapping into that and, you know, lifting all of the internal barriers. So we put it in a place and open it up. Like, that is why I started my podcast. And with this small little thought, I started recording more and more. And I slowly began to get a few listeners, and I really enjoy making the show as of now. I realized I want mine to be a solo podcast. So now I am the host of all the episodes. No guests, nothing, no fuzz, because I know I'm not really pretty efficient to really talk to a guest over a show. So as I said, this is a very bad reason to start or create a podcast, but nevertheless, it was worth it because I realized my real interest towards podcasting much later as I got into it. Moving on to the next question, because the podcast is going to be the longest of all the episodes on my show for definitely. So let's move on to the next question instead of stumbling on a single question for over and over again. We have a question from Miss Purple. I forgot giving names to the previous questions. My bad. Let's continue with that now. So Miss Purple asks, what are your thoughts on people feeling that only a face mask is self-care? Okay, so this person knows me so well to ask me such a question, because this topic is something that interests me to really bring awareness into. So thank you so much for this amazing question. Living in the digital age, you know, we're constantly bombarded with these trends to follow. Like, one of these trends is self-care. I mean, self-care is seen as any other trend on social media, but that's not how people should consider it. People think self-care is all about face mask, bubble bath, just a bunch of different things, or, you know, lighting up your candle. Of course, I agree these are beautiful forms of self-care, but we need to get to a point where it's a lot beyond that. Self-care is way more beyond that. Like, every influencer posts a face mask or a bubble bath shot, or generally, you know, displaying an aesthetic, minimal style and, you know, beautifully laid out food, and just put on this hashtag self-care. Come on, that's a good way, but it's really influencing people to get to a point of understanding that self-care is all about this. It's about skincare and, you know, buying these expensive products, going to luxurious hotels. But come on, that's not the understanding we want here. I mean, we are told to buy a face mask and to take care of ourselves. If you see the advertisements, that's how people say. While I do agree with the raising awareness about how important it is to prioritize our needs, it's getting a lot better understood now. Awareness is being spread, but not in depth. It's all deep-rooted in the consumerist society we live in, you know, as if our well-being is dependent on the beauty products we use, the kind of expensive products we buy and use for ourselves. But it's a very bad way of spreading some awareness on self-care. In my early teenage years, I believed that I had to consume all these amazing products to feel good, because I used to watch a lot of YouTube content on the internet, And watching all these influencers made me think that way. So the underlying message in every magazine or every TV show that I used to watch, I felt like I was never good enough or pretty enough. I mean, those were the things that kind of like influenced me to bring in this understanding about myself. Although I wouldn't really want to blame that completely, it's also upon my side. But I was too young to understand, or maybe I didn't know enough back then. So I would always want to buy these trendy beauty products. I wanted to have this beauty routine because everyone's following one. Like, I used to watch a lot of YouTube back then, and that's what influenced me much more upon this thing, okay? But as time went by and I slowly realized that none of those things made me feel good in the long run. Like, now I see self-care as something much deeper. I have a self-care page on Instagram, and the main intention behind is to just do what improves my mental health and emotional health. You know, it could be reading, meditating, you know, cooking a healthy meal, or making out some really good time for myself, having my boundaries set. All these are self-care for your mental and emotional health. Of course, skincare is definitely important. But when you see in a larger scope, there's so much more to self-care. You can't just stop there, you know, considering skincare is self-care, right? Like, now I see self-care as much deeper, and I want people to see that as well. Like, self-care is not about being self-absorbed or, you know, selfish. And it's certainly not about consuming fancy beauty products. I mean, I'm so hard on this. And of course, if you feel like lighting some candles and soaking in a hot tub, do it. That's awesome. But all I'm saying is it goes way beyond that, because self-care is an everyday practice. It's not a weekend practice. You know, you do some skincare or, you know, beauty care, or you get your treatments done once in a while, right? But self-care is an everyday practice that is linked to how we see ourselves and the world around us. Like how the word goes, self-care, caring for yourself. Caring for yourself in all the ways out there. So it's about checking in with ourselves and kind of like making ourselves a priority, like how we prioritize people around us, the ones we love. So it's about not pouring from an empty cup. It's about the balance. It's up to you to decide what self-care means and how can you fit it into your life. It's all your decision, your intuitive things. And you're not selfish if you focus on your well-being. You are definitely worthy of everything your soul desires. I want to say this out loud there, that you deserve to take care of yourself, because nobody else will as much as you do to yourself. So as I earlier mentioned, while treating yourself to those things is perfectly healthy and can be beneficial, I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong, you know, doing a spa or something for your own self. But it's also important to consider the fact that there's more beneath the surface that's worth exploring when it to get the understanding of the true meaning of self-care and the ways in which it can be implemented into your lives more and more effectively. Those things are great, but they're not the self-care that will change your life and nourish your soul from inside. I hope that answered your question. Let's move on to the next question. Moving on to the next question, again, a lovely question by Miss Purple. How did you come up with such a nice name for your podcast? Okay, as I mentioned, when I started out my podcast, I didn't have anything figured out. I had no idea what I was doing. My, you know, podcast wasn't niched pretty well. So I'll just give you a little brief on the story of Anjali Infinity. So if you listen to my starting few podcasts, you would hear Anjali Infinity a lot, because that was my show name. And the main objective behind that was, since I rant a lot, since I speak too much, I speak about anything and everything, I thought Infinity would be a good name for me. And I thought of putting something like Here to Infinity, a bunch of different names, and then I finally stuck to this weird name, Anjali Infinity, as though it's my initial, of course, a first name, because I speak too much, but didn't really make a lot of sense, you know. Anjali Infinity, people actually thought my actual name was Anjali Infinity rather than Anjali Chanda. So that was so cringe. And at a point when I was getting better with my podcasting, I thought it would be better if I give my podcast a good name, because name is really important, right? Like, when you start thinking of new name, a lot of names come up in your head, but you have to stick to one. And that happens when you have the utmost clarity of what you want to do with your podcast. Let it be podcast, YouTube content, or, you know, Instagram page, or anything of that sort. There has to be a specific name. So when I started thinking about a new name for my show, I just randomly put out a piece of paper and just scribbled down so many ideas that I got. And I didn't think too much about it, you know, and I didn't judge what's coming out. I just went ahead and wrote all those ideas on the paper. And I wanted it to be like true to my personality, because this is going to be the name of my podcast for ages now. And it definitely should show the aim behind the podcast. So once I got a bunch of ideas, I thought, you know, a lot of teen vibes or something. But come on, I'll no more be a teenager after 2 years. So I thought that wouldn't be a great way to make things go forward. So once I got a bunch of ideas, I sort of picked my favorites. I filtered each one of them and then sat with them for a while, you know, talked to my mom and my brother about it. And we finally came up with this name. It's not just me, but my mom and my brother who actually helped me understand which name would be great. But, you know, it's quite simple to get this at this point. But unveiling reality was because I am talking real and authentic things here. Something that shows the realistic nature of me. And as well as it, I talk about reality here. You know, I talk about things that are not spoken as often. I voice out my opinions usually on things that are spoken other way around, or different perspectives, or, you know, wrong perspectives. So, you know, it's like unveiling the reality, unleashing, you know, the doors to, you know, the truth. So that's the main intention behind the name of this podcast. And I hope you got like a pretty good understanding of why my name goes like this. I mean, my podcast name, of course. All right, moving on to the next question. Miss Pink, okay, Pink asks me, what made you start the podcast and the self-care page? As I already answered the podcast point here, I would like to answer for the self-care page, right? So when the pandemic hit, wait, all my answers are just, you know, lying around the pandemic, but I'm so sorry. That's with utmost honesty and transparency. This is how it was. So when the pandemic hit, all of us, you know, can be first responders to the need for emotional support, because I was feeling very lonely types, you know, during the pandemic. Like, almost everyone needs a connection to others and, you know, the opportunity to give and get support at that point. Like, we are still in a pandemic and we still do, right? So this was my prime aim back then, like to start documenting my journey with, you know, self-care and self-growth, because I started taking self-care seriously from there on. And I really wanted to inspire others to start as well. I thought I would only like to inspire people of my age group. I thought I don't know enough. But as I went into the process, I actually got a better understanding. And I'm so happy that I started this page out, because this gave me a huge, huge picture of self-care and its dimensions, how it really works for other age groups, not just for teenagers like me. So, yeah. And as the businesses or the colleges, the schools are shuttered, economic uncertainty also entrenched in our country, right? And a pandemic rages worldwide. Like, there's plenty of anxiety that's going around. And, you know, taking care of ourselves was much needed than anything else at that point. And the critical starting point is to take care of our mental health temperature. How am I doing? What will help me combat anxiety? Am I drinking or eating or sleeping or crying too much? Because you never know what one person is going through. How are the families and how is everything in their life? You know, these questions like, what do I need to stay connected? What do I need to do to stay connected? These questions, when these came up to me, I felt like it would be better to start a page on this. Like, remembering that practicing self-care doesn't just mean being self-centered is a point that I wanted to highlight there. So I wanted to let people understand that one of the best ways to lift their moods is to encourage, to support and love others at that point of time. So this was my main aim behind starting this page, because now is the time to have the courage to be enthusiastic, right? You know, now is the time to express appreciation, to support each other, to make people feel good, to give compliments. We need to support each other, and this intention was what made me start this page. And also, we still have a long, long hard path to get through this pandemic, but doing our best to manage the toll that it takes on our mental and emotional health will make it much easier to ride out of the, you know, coming ups and downs. I mean, I hope that answered your question. You know, that was my main intention behind starting this page. Okay, moving on to the next question. Miss Orange asks, what kind of people do you like around you and the kind you don't? Such a good question. Such an amazing question. I'm gonna rant a lot now, because I really want people to know about this. So this is what I consider while deciding that. Like, if I fill my body with excessive amount of sugars, junk food or street food, I mean, anything like that, I'm more likely to get sick, right? Or, you know, for suppose if I eat too many ice creams or cold beverages during the winter season, what are most likely the chances, you know? It isn't a great thing to do. So the same is often true in terms of our mental health and outcomes in life. Like, I'm sure you've overheard this a lot, but this is the truth, right? If we put some crap in, we are more likely to get crap out. Such a bad statement to make, but yeah. So for example, if you spend your time, you know, watching negative content over the internet and surrounding yourself with toxic people, you are more likely to be unhealthy, right? Just as even spending like a few minutes a day reading, you know, Twitter comments, because Twitter comments have become, I don't want to say this, but they've become ridiculous. So yeah, or even following toxic people on any social media platform can create a huge difference to our way of thinking. I mean, there are so many things that make us feel good, but only when you follow the right people. And if you're following the wrong people, then things are gonna get the worst. So this is the best example here, right? If you are surrounding yourself with the right people, then things will go fair and beautiful. But if the chances are opposite to that, then I don't think you'll ever feel, you know, good enough. You always have these negative thoughts stuck in your head. So if we surround ourselves with people who are positive and want us to succeed in life, then we are most likely to be healthy, like mentally. And also, we can achieve a lot more than what we can do with those people around, because you have inspiring people around you. You have people who cheer you up. And yeah, that's my whole point. So basically, in a nutshell, I like to surround myself with people, those, you know, who have an abundance mindset, you know, and also not with the people who think that your gain is their loss. I mean, they are more likely to bring you down and nothing else. And I like to be around the people who encourage me to be the best version of myself and really don't judge me upon my flaws there, you know. They always encourage me, they give me constructive criticism. They're just nice to people around as well, not just to me. So people who talk about ideas rather than gossip, these are the kind of people I love, you know, surrounding myself with. So I really like surrounding myself with people who don't just give me immediate fixes to my problems, but for those who are willing to listen to me before jumping to conclusions, for those who don't judge me too easily, and for those people whose positive actions actually match their positive thoughts. I love these kind of people. Like, they'll be true to you only when they're true to themselves, right? So people who are passionate about their purpose or are still willing to find one or many, these kind of people are the ones that I really love surrounding myself with. And for those people who radiate positive vibes, you know, like, you know, it automatically when in their presence, your inner self like enlightens up. So that's a little about the people I like around me. Now, when it comes to the people you should never really surround yourself with is with the people or friends who criticize you, who make fun of you, or just people around you who body shame you, who speak bad about you in your absence, or, you know, who gossip about other people and who leave you places or maybe go places without you or even asking, follow or make racist, sexist, homophobic jokes and joke about any religion or anything, or for those people who make you cry, just don't stay or stick to them, okay? And for those people who say something mean and then they end it saying, just kidding, JK or something. I mean, that's so rude, right? Like, you're in a conversation with someone and they make these mean jokes and then they end it up, cover it up with just kidding. Like, you know, there's a children's book on why putting a just kidding at the end does not make your mean comment any better. I don't know why people don't get this, but it's really irritating, right? I don't like people who are always sarcastic. It gets annoying at some point. And for those people who tell that you're dumb and, you know, whatnot, right? So these kind of people are the ones you have to always stay away. Like, these are red flags for you to not ever stay around them. Even if you do, just keep things minimum. Just keep the conversation limited. Never really talk a lot to them, you know. Never really even think of bringing them into your life, you know. And if so happens that they came into your life and if you don't like their presence, then please stay away from them. So these are some sort of people I don't really generally like to, you know, start a conversation with, nor do I like to, you know, stick around them. Now, all these lessons came from the past, from my past. I broke up with friends I've been with over 3 years because they did few of these things to me. And there were people that seemed nice, but they acted so mean to me. So, and things have only gotten better after that. So I really suggest you to, you know, keep these things in mind when you're actually building friendships or trying to, you know, understand what kind of people do you like around you and what kind of people you shouldn't really have around you. I hope this answers your question. Okay, let's move on to the next question. Again, Miss Orange asks this question. One thing you have been religiously practicing and would like to recommend others. Lovely question. So, I always turn to the journal, at least during my very tough times. I decided I would keep a record of my tough times through this journal. It's like a way for me to remember to process my feelings, right? And now it's July 2021 and my journaling practice still continues. If not regularly, at least I do it in the intervals. So I write everything from tidbits of everyday life, discovering myself, you know, making a decision or, you know, moments of worry and loneliness, gratitude and whatnot. So I highly recommend journaling because it's such a beautiful stress management and, you know, self-exploration tool, and it works best when you do it consistently. But even occasional or, you know, sporadic journaling can be stress relieving when the practice is focused on, you know, gratitude or emotional processing. It really allows people to clarify their thoughts and feelings, you know, thereby gaining valuable self-knowledge. So it's also a good problem-solving tool, according to me. And oftentimes, one can hash out a problem and come up with solutions more easily over a paper rather than keeping that in your mind. So basically, the practice that I've been religiously practicing for a really long time now is journaling. And my journal is my best friend. I mean, just have a simple book, right? Just a spiral binding book or, you know, just a little notebook for you to really put out your thoughts. That's all you need. And we come to an interesting question now, which is not so interesting to me because I am boring when it comes to this. So the next question goes like, genre of songs you enjoy the most. Okay, so many people, you know, when it comes to music, they are very specific about what they listen to. But for me, I don't have a favorite genre. I keep exploring and, you know, whatever sounds right, I go with it. Like, mood also plays an important role in the choice of music, right? So before I go for a run, maybe, or a walk, or a workout, I listen to this fast-paced, inspirational, motivating music. And sometimes when I'm chilling, I change it to something else. According to the mood and the activities that I'm performing, my music taste keeps changing like that. You know, like, many people like to listen to music while studying, but I find it difficult to focus on two things at the same time. Hence, I have like separate time slots for the both. So I listen to soothing and once that arise good emotions while I'm working. So it really helps to, you know, set that vibe and environment. So yeah, usually I listen to these soothing vibe music, sometimes the emotional types, sometimes, you know, I don't really want to give the genres like jazz and all that because I'm not really very specific about that. As I just told you, I keep exploring new things. So when it comes to music, the sound which soothes me is what actually I like. And to me, each genre is like a color of the rainbow that you get to see. Like, so I listen to Bollywood, Tollywood, Tamil songs as well, and Hollywood as well, and some really cool girl bossish type songs, you know, for that motivation when you need it. So basically, I can't really describe the song I really like because I like a mixture of different type of songs. I hope you get my point here. Moving on to the next question, it goes like, what according to you are your best qualities? Thank you so much for the person who asked me this question. I mean, this is a lovely question and something that fits into this episode because this was the main aim for recording this episode today, because this episode has to be a lot more about me as it is a get to know me episode. So thank you so much for asking this. So I like to share some ways I find myself awesome, because I know for the fact that it's not self-posting, but it's just more of like, you know, more like real things. So one of the best things about me is I practice gratitude. Well, I don't know if this comes under the quality category, but this is not an interview to kind of like tell you what I'm good at, what are my skills. So one of my best qualities is I understand the importance of gratitude. I practice gratitude, not just something that I do occasionally, but every single day, even if I forget on some or the other day, I make sure I run it in my mind. I make sure I remind myself what I'm grateful for that very day. So it's all about being grateful for even the simplest things, so that the big wins that happen in your life, they feel a lot more greater. So I recognize each and every blessing I see and, you know, express my gratitude. So I guess this is what just kind of shapes me a lot more positive, although I'm not completely a positive person yet. But with this, if I find the little things to be grateful for in life, I'll soon find myself, you know, finding things to be grateful for in every single situation, right? And I really love that thing about me. Another good quality that I've developed over time is I started to believe that there's neither bad nor good. I mean, it's all in my mind how I see things, like what I expect from the situation. There's always something good behind every bad day, because life is teaching me a lesson every single day, and it is up to me on how I learn from it, right? So this is something that I have developed in a few of these months, and it works like wonders. I mean, you need to have the intention. If I just tell you and you develop this mindset, that's not how it works. You really need to have the intention, and that comes from life experiences, and you will believe this too. And if you already are, then that's lovely. But this is how, if you see life as, you get a lot more resilient. And it's like you don't fix your problems, but you fix your thinking, and the problems will fix themselves. I hope you got the point. And also, with this kind of mindset, what really happens is, although you're not really able to, live with this mindset all the time, because it's next to impossible for a human being to live like that, but you can change the whole world around you by letting go of the disappointment or anger or bitterness. Because sometimes in life, we take smallest of the things a lot more, you know, into us. You know, we just think too much for things that aren't meant to be thought about so much. So, I mean, everybody says this, but life is too short to worry about all these negative things and situations. And it's not like I always get to think this positive, because let's face it, nobody can, but I make the most out of it. So that's another quality that I really like about myself and have evolved over months. And another awesome quality that's been, you know, improving me and, you know, has been my best friend in my growth is I've been focusing on the solutions rather than the problems. Like, you know, this applies to basically every single thing that I do, every smallest of the thing. You know, what's easy for me is to focus on the negative, things when tough times occur. But I keep reminding myself that what I focus on is what expands. And if I focus on problems, I'll get a lot more problems. If I focus on solutions, I'll get a lot more solutions. So I tend to make a list of, you know, possible solutions for the problem at hand. And this type of thinking has been a total game changer for me. And thank you so much for this lovely question. I kind of realized my own qualities after answering this. So yeah, the next question, I'm just running out of time because it's already such a long episode. But the next question is by Miss Pink. I mean, because this person really likes Pink, so I thought, let's name her Miss Pink. She asks, what's the spark that made you to take self-care seriously? Lovely question again. Okay, so let's begin a little backstory. So last year, I realized that I lived 17 years of my life without knowing what it really means to love and take care of myself. And how did I realize this? You would understand it by now after listening to this episode. So life was good, you know. I used to work hard. I studied well. And at the end, that was the story I projected. Like, I wasn't taking care of myself emotionally, and unconsciously, I placed, I'll deal with it later, labels on several situations when they would, you know, trickled into my life unplanned, you know, something uncertain happens in my life. So somewhere along the overachieving path of seeking perfection, you know, and always looking into the future, I kind of lost myself, you know, when these labels accumulated into me. So, you know, I literally managed to forget how to take care of my inner world. I didn't even know this exists, right? And I'm really proud of the person that I am today, but come on. The person I was back then wasn't something cool. I mean, I would deal with major amount of stress. And of course, that's a lot more about teenage. I was just 16 or 17. So that's again another point to be added here. But after neglecting what was really going on in my life, you know, I ended up in a, you know, curled up ball in one of my bedroom corners. And I was feeling a heavy amount of pain all at once, and I cried for an hour long, if you don't believe it. Like, I don't work out, I don't eat well, I don't sleep well. What am I doing with myself? These kind of thoughts just kept running in my mind. And all I do is get annoyed by my dad who keeps telling me to do all this. I mean, who is he telling it for? And I realized he had a reason. He wanted me to be the best version of myself. And I felt like, if not for him at least, for my own self with this new awareness, I should do something. I got the awareness, I got the thought, so why don't I put that into action? So I ended 2020 with a promise to live differently. You know, I became a morning person and started each day with ample amount of time in my hand, maybe reading a book. And if I didn't get to read a book properly, then I would maybe journal my thoughts. I would learn something. I would watch a good YouTube video. And also sometimes I would work out. I would try my best, but wouldn't just be consistent with it. But I'm really happy for the person that I am today, which I keep reminding myself. But back then, I guess these experiences were the ones that had made me a better person, because it just kept strengthening me from inside, if you didn't see it. And slowly I started finding a lot more peace by journaling, and instead of pushing my thoughts away, I would write them out and, you know, find solutions in that process. So I slowly also started acknowledging my accomplishments and mini successes, and also celebrated them with small rewards instead of rushing to the next best thing. If suppose I study for an hour, I would watch a YouTube video of my favorite YouTuber for 10 other minutes. And I also slowly started to listen to my body. I would try and work out every evening. So this is what happened in the lockdown period as well, but it got a lot better when 2021 started. I chose to let go of the stories I kept replaying about the past and the worries I created for the future. I mean, this wasn't a one-day process. It kept going for a while. I created my vision board. I also started saying no for a bunch of different things. And instead of saying yes to everything, I know for the fact that it would only benefit me if I say no. And I began fully acknowledging the present in its entirely every aspect, including the playful, joyful moments and the uncomfortable, challenging ones as well. So this is how I've evolved as a person. And in this process, I realized that when we take the time to reconnect with ourselves, replace our fears with trust in ourselves, and learn to let go of the things we cannot control, this is called taking care of myself. I mean, self-care is not something that's about, you know, chilling in the weekends or doing some skincare. It's a lot more, is what I explored in life. When we listen to our intuition and embrace all of our imperfections and stay authentic to who we are, this is taking care. I'm definitely not comfortable with my body yet. I am not comfortable with a lot of different things, but I'm slowly figuring out to accept it. I would get annoyed by how my body looks sometimes, how my hair looks, but slowly I figure out that that's not the right thinking. I'm so happy with what I am today. I'm 100 times better person than I was yesterday, right? And a lot of things are available to me. A lot of people are not even in reach to them. So this has made me a better person, and I started to prioritize self-care into my life just slowly and steadily with my baby steps. I'm here today. It's like when we learn to be gentle with ourselves, that is truly taking care of ourselves. I hope this answers your question. I got a little emotional, but let's keep that aside now. Maybe I'll just, I don't know. Moving on to the next question, and I guess this will be the last question, because already the episode has gotten longer and there are so many more questions, but I guess I would answer them some other time, because these are like the questions that are mainly focused about me. So let me just make sure I answer them. How do you manage your time between studies, content creation and freelancing? Miss White asks. I don't know if it's correct to answer this question, but it would be fair for me if I answer the studies and content creation, keeping the freelancing career aside, because I just started my freelancing journey very recently, and I don't know how will it work, you know, how will I be managing so much, because let's face it, it's a lot, and I'm a human too, and I'll have my SEM 3 classes beginning from tomorrow, and I must figure out something, and I guess I already have it figured out. I mean, I just have to take it into action. So the ability to balance work, studies, and content creation is definitely very important for me, and that's where I'm going to learn a lot of things as well, you know. Particularly if I need to focus equally on all of them. You know, everybody considers the difficulty to this very differently, you know. That is, it is easy for some people and more difficult for others. And rather, I would say it will be a little difficult for me because I'm complete new to this. But I guess I had the understanding of what I'm going to do. Like, maybe I'll plan ahead. I'll start planning out my weeks. You're seeing me changing here from here only because I'm not a planning person. But I guess I'm going to slowly start doing that. And this involves, you know, determination as well. Like, how long I would need to study and fit that time around the work and classes schedule. And it's not going to be easy for sure. Come on. I'm not a robot, right? And something that I already did is setting goals. I did that like in the second week of July. And, you know, it's about determining what success at college looks like to me and what success at freelancing career looks like to me and how much I need to spend on content creation and engaging with my audience. So I just set some realistic goals as well. And I'm going to be planning the time accordingly, I guess. Also, another thing that I have managed to understand is to not overcommit. I stopped overcommitting. I have received so many requests from so many other people for graphic design services. And I didn't say yes to each one of them. And so, you know, it's a big time lesson in the end. And I'm only human and there are only a certain amount of hours each day. So I'll make sure that I only commit to what is actually achievable and actionable. So this is something that I've already began doing, which is amazing. And another thing is, although sometimes my weekends could be packed because of my college and bunch of other things, but I guess I'll be learning through this process as well. So it's always time to learn for me. So, and I also should learn how to study efficiently in shorter period of time. And now why am I saying this? Because I need to learn how to manage time. Like, another plan I've got is to figure out the best way to avoid running out of time. It is how to study more efficiently in the time that I've got. Like, I should spend some time learning how to study and develop some healthy habits for myself, because most of the times you kind of like procrastinate when it comes to studies, right? So I need to kind of like do some healthy habits of studying, and I'll have to also find a way where I can study quicker and retain more information in shorter periods. So this is my plan as of now, because I'm growing and I need to develop some strategies myself, the ones that work for me. So yeah, I hope this answers your question. And for all those questions that went unanswered today, I'm so sorry. I'll manage to answer them in some other episodes. But thank you so much for listening to this one. It really means a lot. I hope I didn't bore you a lot. I mean, the conversation did go a little boring in the middle, but I hope you sticked around. I won't say till the end because it's pretty long. But if you're doing some sort of work or workout or something, then I'm sure you did stick around till the end. So thank you so much for giving all your time to this episode. Means a lot. And I'll get back with another episode. Not such long episodes, because it does get hard. I mean, my throat stopped working already. I cannot even explain. I better stop speaking. Thank you so much for listening. And the outro comes now so that I can also save some voice. I need to go drink a ton of water. Thank you so much for listening. Have an amazing week ahead. Thank you so much for joining me this week on Unveiling Reality Podcast. This means a lot. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes or follow our podcast via Spotify, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in the show, I would appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or if you would simply tell a friend about the show, that would help me out too. Thank you so much. Have an amazing week.